IG Living Advocate, Episode 1, The Increased Demand for Immunoglobulin Products and Its Effect on Patient Access. Hello, and thank you for joining us. My name is Abby Cornett, and I'm the Patient Advocate for IG Living Magazine. This is our first podcast episode of IG Living and a transition from our readers' teleconference. With this podcast, we have an opportunity for our readers to hear from healthcare experts on topics important to them. In this first episode, we will be talking about the increased demand for immunoglobulin products and its effect on patient access. Today, we have with us guest expert Patrick M. Schmidt, Chief Executive Officer of FFF Enterprises, also known as Triple F, and New Factor Specialty Infusion. Patrick has been with FFF since its inception in 1988. In 1995, FFF launched New Factor to address the high costs and access issues related to IG therapy. Patrick is recognized as a leader in the healthcare community, having introduced several industry firsts that have paved the way to create solutions to challenges faced by both healthcare providers and their patients. Good morning, Patrick, and thank you for joining us. In recent weeks, patients across the United States have been notified that their scheduled infusions are either being delayed or canceled due to a shortage of IG products. Understandably, this has caused concern for patients who depend on these life-saving treatments for their acute or chronic conditions. Patrick, could you please give us some history and background on IG products and, most importantly, the recent shortages of immunoglobulin products?
Abby, thank you very much. I'd be happy to, and it's an honor to join you here with IG Living Magazine and the readers who are listening to the podcast today on a very, very important subject. And happy to go into a little bit of the background on the IG marketplace and IG products, which, you know, from my perspective, is one of the most fascinating products on the planet. But if we look at the history of IVIG, the first IG product was introduced in 1981, and I believe it was a product called Gamma Immune N by then a company called Cutter Biologics, which became Cutter and then Miles and then Bayer and then became Talocris, which is also known now as Grifols. And Gamma Immune N was the predecessor to one of the very popular products in the marketplace right now, Gamunex, which is, as I mentioned, made by Grifols, a Spanish company. But the interesting part about the whole plasma-derived product market, which IG is a very, very important component of, is the first plasma-derived product was used 39 years earlier, right after December 7th, 1942, which most people remember the day in infamy around Pearl Harbor. And the first plasma product that was introduced in the United States for healthcare purposes was a product called human serum albumin. And human serum albumin is credited with saving the lives of thousands of our servicemen after World War II. So the whole process to produce plasma-derived products that are derived from plasma was a World War II innovation. And the manufacturing process that is used, I think this is very important for this topic, the manufacturing process that was used then and then still used today is a process to produce albumin, and it was later refined and added some additional processes to produce IVIG and extract the antibodies that are in short supply today. So from my perspective, there is nothing on the planet like IVIG. It's used in more disease states, if you will, from the primary immune deficiencies to the secondary immune deficiencies, which are one of the recent factors that are causing some of the shortages that we're experiencing right now in the United States, and to a whole host of, or growing list, I should say, of autoimmune disorders. And, you know, among these are, I'm sure we have many of our constituents that are very familiar with many of these autoimmune disorders. The only other product in the United States or in the world that I'm aware of that treats so many different diseases is a pharmaceutical product called prednisone, and a lot of people are very familiar with that particular product. But IVIG by itself is unique, and it's in the 37th year of its life cycle, or the 30th plus year of its life cycle, continues to grow year after year. The demand for IVIG grows year after year. And I was speaking to a senior executive at Grifols recently, and he was reminiscing about when Talocris, the predecessor of Grifols, was acquired by Grifols. And at that time, the marketplace for IVIG was about 45 million grams. And today we're approaching 100 million. That shows you the kind of growth areas that IVIG is used for and is what's contributing to many of the shortages today.
Thank you, Patrick, for that overview. As you know, prior to this podcast, we had our readers submit questions concerning the recent shortages. I was hoping you'd be able to answer a few of those for us today. The first question I'd like to address is, many of our patients have asked why it takes so long to produce an IG product. Can you please explain the process of producing an IG product for us?
Sure, and I touched a little bit on it in the prior question, and I also, I think, compared IVIG and subcutaneous immune globulin products to a pharmaceutical product, a prednisone, prednisone is a tablet, and it's produced from an active pharmaceutical ingredient, and basically pharmaceutical manufacturers can crank out thousands and thousands and millions of these pills on demand, unlike plasma-derived products or biologics. And it starts with plasma collection. And the plasma collection industry, if you will, and there's a whole cottage industry of organizations that collect plasma intended for further manufacturing by the handful of manufacturers in the world right now who make IG products. And just to give you an example, the plasma collection industry in 2007, there were 349 plasma collection centers in the United States that collected 15 million liters of source plasma. In 2018, a little more than 10 years later, that number has almost doubled to 737 collection centers to meet the demand and collecting 49 million liters of plasma. To continue to meet the burgeoning demand for IVIG worldwide, we need to collect more plasma in the United States. So once collected, it goes to manufacturing facilities that, as I said, are still using a technique that was designed originally to produce albumin. And from albumin come a couple of different of the plasma fractions, and IVIG is one of those. And the manufacturers are Takeda and Grifols and CSL. Those are the three largest manufacturers of plasma-derived and immune globulin products worldwide. And then there's also Octapharma, BPL, and Kedrion. So from the time the plasma is collected till it goes to manufacturing, and for manufacturing after QC and FDA approval and testing, it goes to large distributors like FFF Enterprises, and there's three other large distributors that are publicly traded companies, AmerisourceBergen, Cardinal Health, and McKesson. And from there, if it doesn't go directly from a manufacturer, it goes to a healthcare provider that many of our constituents listening to IG Living are probably getting their infusions from. So from the time of plasma collection through the lengthy manufacturing process and through the distribution channels to the time it becomes bedside or chair side ready for infusion takes between 7 and 12 months. So it's unlike pharmaceutical manufacturing, and I use prednisone as the example. The collection, the quarantine, the long manufacturing cycles, the testing, the FDA approval, and the absolute emphasis on product safety and availability makes biological manufacturing a lengthy process. And so I'll stop there for a second and see if we can elaborate any more if you like.
No, Patrick, thank you very much. That really addressed some of the concerns of the patients, being what was the time frame or how long did it take to produce a product. The next question is, do the shortages involve only certain brands of IVIG, or do they involve both IVIG and SCIG?
Generally, a great question, and I think it's probably asked. You know, somebody wants to know, why is my brand short, and are other brands short too? And I think we're going to talk here a little bit maybe about some solutions on how to address a particular brand shortage. But I think it's important to recognize that there's three basic product categories. There's intravenous immune globulin, so IVIG. That's the infusion route. There's subcutaneous. And then there's a handful of products that could be administered intravenously and subcutaneously. And I think at any given time, the entire marketplace is very, very tight. And, you know, back to the manufacturing questions, I would just like to tell everybody, and because there's a lot of rumors going around, it's my belief and my solid belief that all the manufacturers are doing everything they possibly can to collect as much plasma, to produce as much IVIG as possible to meet the growing demand. And they're spending a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of research on trying to improve yields to take a single liter of plasma and to extract as much IVIG as possible. So, and I think just maybe to talk a little bit more about, you know, which brands are in short supply, I would just look at the entire marketplace. The industry data from March of last year through April of 2019, there was 91.2 million grams that were distributed in the United States. And that sounds like a tremendous amount of product, and it is. And it's a very valuable resource for everybody who needs IVIG. But one of the things that's important to note, you know, based on the manufacturing, the average is about 7.6 million grams per month if you just break it down by 12. But IVIG, because of the nature of the manufacturing, is not produced in 1/12th increments. So the supply into the distribution channel and to the infusion provider channel is not consistent. And it's those inconsistencies that may make one product seem to be in short supply and unavailable for a period of time while another one may be available. And to give you, I think the clearest cut example of that is of the 12 months that I was talking about, from May of 18 through April of 2019, the highest distribution of IVIG into the marketplace was over 9 million grams, and the lowest slightly over 6 million grams. There's about a 3 million gram difference, or half a month difference there. And in June of this year, there was one major brand, and I won't mention the name, but there's one major brand of the three major brands, and the three major brands being Privigen that's produced by CSL, GammaGuard Liquid that's produced by Takeda now, and Gamun XC by Grifols. One of those brands didn't ship any product in the U.S. marketplace that we're aware of in June. And for the patients that were prescribed that particular product, it created a ton of access issues. So there's some timing related to being able to answer that question, and there's no really easy answer. But it is a very, very tight market. Access is a concern. And there's a growing amount of discussion, including in our podcast here today, about some of the contributing factors to IG access.
Thank you, Patrick. That definitely gives us a better idea of why there are current shortages. Several patients have shared their concerns about their product not being available, which you touched upon. What advice or suggestion do you have for them when they have lost access to their medication or to their brand?
I think there's some real tangible steps, and I think the very, very first step is something like this: education and understanding. I think that's a fundamental step that I think we should be grateful to IG Living for, you know, hosting this podcast and providing this information. But I think we should look at, we talked about manufacturing, we talked a little bit about distribution and plasma collection, and I think to answer that question, we want to focus a little bit on the sites of care. Where do your readers get access to IVIG? Is it in their home, in a home infusion setting? Is it a hospital, or either inpatient or outpatient, probably more typically setting affiliated with a hospital in their area? Is it their physician office? Or is it an ambulatory infusion center that could be either hospital or physician-owned? All sites of care are not created equal and do not have, unfortunately, equal access through no fault of their own. And I would just amplify that point by saying there's a couple of products on the marketplace that are produced by medium to smaller manufacturers that are only available, they're not available in all the sites of care we just talked about. Like Privigen, GammaGuard Liquid, and Gamun XC are available in every one of the sites of care, the home, the hospital, the doctor's office, the ambulatory infusion center. Some of the smaller manufacturers that produce less IVIG than the major manufacturers, are only available in certain sites of care, maybe through a specialty pharmacy or specialty home infusion company, where patients would get it in their home. So the site of care does have something that you've been prescribed to get your IVIG, and does have something to do, may have something to do with where you get your IVIG product. So I think there's a very simple strategy, and if our readers were so inclined and were writing down something, I would just put down the initials BPR, and that would be the stimulus for a conversation potentially with your physician. And if you can't get the brand, so in this context, B is brand, P is provider, and R is the route of administration. And I think that's a logical order that you might want to approach this and become an advocate for yourself and having a conversation with your physician. If the brand that you prescribe to me, we cannot get in the site of care or the provider site where I was getting my IVIG, is there another brand that I could have access to? If I can't get brand A, is brand B available in that site of care? Or if not brand B, is brand C available? And know the brands and go through a list of those. And I'm sure IG Living could provide you with a complete list of all the brands, and we may be able to, if time permitting, talk about it here. And if you can't get the brand, if the brand is not available in your current provider site, is there an opportunity for you to change provider sites? Could you go from an ambulatory infusion center to your home setting? Could you go from the home setting and your provider who's providing your home care there to a physician office or a hospital? Is there an opportunity for you to move and get your IVIG at a location that might have better access for you? And then if all of those are still no and you've been prescribed IV, is subcutaneous administration route? And that's the R in route. So I think those are maybe just some logical steps to advocate for yourself. Can I change brands? Can I change provider site? And if IV is an option for me, is there potentially another option, a subcutaneous route, an SCIG product? And there are pockets of IVIG available. We are never completely out in this country. Manufacturers are producing millions of grams that are being released in the marketplace every month. And you know, becoming an advocate for yourself and pursuing aggressively alternatives for brand or your provider site or route of administration, we think you'll be successful.
Thank you very much. One of the questions that we received a number of times from patients were, when do you see the shortage will end? And I was hoping you could have some insight and that you could share with us on that.
Abby, that's a question that I'm asked often and a question that frankly I dread. And I was afraid you were going to ask it today, because it's very difficult to say. And I think the best advice is maybe what we just gave about being able to advocate for yourself. Because of the growing demand for IVIG that has been consistently year after year after year, and the manufacturing just behind it trying to catch up, this could be a protracted shortage. That may not be what everybody wants to hear. We've also seen in prior shortages, and at FFF through our 31 years of history, we've lived through several of these shortages, so we're no stranger to them, and we have a lot of experience on how to manage them. And there is a management component to it that does improve access, but probably not for this podcast. But I think it's best for our readers to, you know, plan for this to be a protracted shortage. Anything other than that will be a win. And there are new products coming to the marketplace. I think we might have a little bit of time to touch on that. There are new manufacturers. There are new techniques that are being used to increase the yield from plasma. Everybody's investing in this, and nobody in the industry, none of the manufacturers, none of the providers, you know, want any of the patients to suffer from IVIG shortages.
Thank you, Patrick. You're right. I would like to touch on some of the new things that could affect the industry in the future. Before we end today's podcast, is there anything additional you'd like to share?
Well, I would just like to, you know, again, thank IG Living and all the organizations that are trying to produce some information and understanding for the patient communities that are so dependent on IVIG. And I had a conversation the other day that really inspired me, and it was from an autoimmune patient. And she said, for autoimmune patients, I swear, once the rogue antibodies realize that the donated IG antibodies are no longer keeping them at bay, the rogue antibodies come back with even a more forceful vengeance than before. And that should inspire that attitude and that characterization of what a shortage does and the fear that it creates in the people that are so dependent on IG therapy. That should inspire all of us to continue to do more. And I applaud IG Living for the work that they're doing. And there are manufacturers, and I don't know if you want to touch on it now, Abby, but there are manufacturers. There are new manufacturers. There's a company called ADMA Biologics that has two products that are coming to the market in the second half of 2019, a new IVIG product, Asceniv, which is a 10% liquid IVIG, and then Bivigam, which is a reintroduction to a product that was previously on the market that had been withdrawn. And then there's a company out of Canada called Evolve Therapeutics that's working on a very, very interesting new technique to produce IVIG that will increase the yield. And then a little more distant out is a company called the GC Pharma or the Korean Green Cross. That'll probably be in the 2022 time frame. And then we're predicting in November that Grifols will produce an SCIG product, a 20% SCIG product called Exembify. So there's help on the way, and we're very hopeful that we'll be able to continue to meet the demand. And when I say we, as an entire industry and everybody that's involved in this, from all the component parts we talked about, from the plasma collectors to the manufacturers to all the distributors and all the infusion providers, we're very, very hopeful that we'll be able to continue to meet the demand and for a long time to come.
Patrick, thank you again for joining us today to discuss this important issue. I would also like to thank the readers who wrote in with their questions. Our guest speaker today was Patrick M. Schmidt, Chief Executive Officer of FFS Enterprises Incorporated and New Factor Specialty Infusion, who discussed the topic of the increased demand for immunoglobulin products and its effects on patients. For our listeners, another resource to monitor IG shortages, please visit www.ashp.org or www.fda.gov. Both websites will be posted on igliving.com to reference. Additional information regarding this podcast can be found on our website at www.igliving.com. If readers have a question that was not answered, please contact me at acornett@igliving.com. Look for the next IG Living podcast announcement on our website for the opportunity to submit your questions. IG Living Advocate is a copyright production of IG Living Magazine, published by FFS Enterprises, and it's the only magazine for the immune globulin IG community, comprised of patients who suffer from chronic illnesses and their caregivers.